Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, and welcome to the political cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and it is a beautiful Saturday evening, April 6th, here in Memphis, Tennessee. And we're going to start the show out with some good news. And if you're a member of our email list, you received this good news yesterday when we sent out the weekly blast. But it is my pleasure to report to you that our first quarter fundraising drive, which took place during the month of March, was a success. And it took all the way up until the 11th hour, nearly the full month of March, to reach our goal. But thanks to you, the ever-faithful members of our listening audience, we have safely crossed the finish line, which makes the political cesspool, places us on solid financial footing for the next couple of months, at which time, of course, we will call on you again to keep us moving forward. This was a particularly important fundraising drive. I guess they all are. They help keep us on the air. We kick back a little bit to the network, which I'll be doing this week, the network that syndicates us to the country and takes care of our live broadcast stream and the archives. So we're going to be doing that. But most important of all, I think this time was we were raising some money in addition to our usual needs to donate to the wife and children of Bill Rowland. I had the opportunity to go over to Bill's house a couple of days ago, the first time I had seen the family since the week after the funeral, and gave them a box of letters that had come in, cards, sympathy cards that the listeners had sent in over the course of the last 30, 40 days. Hard to believe it's been that long since the funeral, but it has. And of course, we made a financial contribution to them, a love offering, if you will. And it's just, it was really great to be able to do that and present that to them. And I made sure that they knew that that came from the audience that loved Bill as much as we did. And it was very moving. You could tell they were moved. So I thank you, ladies and gentlemen, not just for doing your part last month to keep us on the air and help the network, but to help the family of Bill Rowland. I talked about moving forward, and we will be moving forward. I'm equally excited to report to you here at the top of the show tonight that our promised website renovations are nearly complete. On May 1st, we're going to be unveiling a new look at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's going to be aesthetically refreshing. It's going to offer you new tools, photos, and text about our award-winning radio program and the hosting staff, while still maintaining an easily navigable design that will include, of course, our popular blog, listen live links, and broadcast archives. If you have some suggestions as to how we could better improve our site, please leave them, send me an email, leave them in the comment section on our blog. Again, this will be unveiled on May 1st. And also Keith Alexander, who's in studio with me tonight. A lot of news here at the top of the show this evening. Also coming soon to our on-air production, the live shows, we're going to have all new intros, outros, and bumper music to further freshen up the live broadcast, and Art Frith has been working on them feverishly. All that, the new sounds on the bumpers and the intros, outros, the new website, all going to be unveiled May 1st. All this and much more, folks, is headed your way as the year continues to unfold. And thank you again for providing the financial support that has made these upgrades possible. Those of you who contributed enough to receive the incentives will receive your gift from us by the end of the month. Got a guy in St. Louis working on that right now. With your continued support, we're going to keep bringing you these honest and hard-hitting talk radio shows for many years to come. And Keith, I was thinking of you today. I'm working with the gentleman in St. Louis, Mark, and he was a good friend of Bill's as well. And, you know, if folks donated, they get the Bill Rowland CD if they donate to the first quarter fundraising drive. And I was going through all the shows that I wanted to add to that, the shows that I thought were particularly good that involved Bill. You know, how much is enough? You can't do enough. But I selected 10 hours worth of airtime, and I selected some shows that I thought were particularly provocative. Our interview with Lieutenant Gottfried Dulias, one that Bill and I set in, our interview with Drew Lackey, the police officer who fingerprinted Rosa Parks in that iconic picture, our interview with Michael Andrew Grissom, which we heard actually earlier last month in a replay, author of Southern by the Grace of God, Jim Gilchrist, Hutton Gibson, Nick Griffin, of the European Parliament. I did all 3 hours of last year's live broadcast of the Council of Conservative Citizens Conference, which was just great. It was one of the best shows we've ever did, and Bill was a part of all three of those hours. So these are the shows you're going to get on this Best of Bill City that's going to be coming to the folks that contributed last week. But I was, one last show I put on there, Keith, and I was going to put it first. It was my decision to put an interview that Bill and I did with Peter Brimelow, the author of Alien Nation. He also is a former editor of Forbes magazine. And then I thought, no, there's one. You know, you were a friend of Bill's ever much as I was. And I found a show that just really stuck out. And it was one, of course, it's all about Bill, the Best of Bill City. But it was one that you and him were on together that I was out of town doing an appearance. And it was just too good to pass up. So I bumped the interview that Bill and I did with Peter Brimelow in favor of the legendary interview that you and Bill conducted with one Alana Mercer. And so that's on the Best of Bill CD, too. Alana Mercer, after that interview, who I got along with her well enough when she came on before, but when she came on with y'all, she left saying you were the white Al Sharpton, you were negative energy, negative image of Al Sharpton, and some other choice words. What was so interesting about that interview that you elicited such a reaction from one of our friends, or one of our so-called friends?
Well, I basically blew her cover. She pretends to be one of us. She pretends to be a person who is vitally concerned with the plight of white Gentiles in South Africa and the way that they're being systematically genocided over there by the government, and with a wink and a nod from the Western nations of the world that are supposed to be the exemplars of civilization. But of course, they're sitting idly by, turning a blind eye to the genocide of the whites. And she's written a book called Into the Cannibal's Pot, which was the occasion for our interview. And it basically provides a great blow-by-blow account of what has happened and why it's happened. But what she neglected to tell everybody is that, one, the Jewish population of South Africa was front and center in the vanguard of the anti-apartheid movement, including her father, who is a rabbi. And that, this is the template that will be followed when America falls, when Western Europe falls, when Australia falls, to third world immigration, or the elevation of third worlders, either indigenous or transplanted there. In all Western nations, the Jewish vanguard that brought it about takes the first flight out to Tel Aviv because they are able to do it, because as Jews, they have a carte blanche, get out of jail free card, where as Jews, they are always welcome to emigrate to the State of Israel, which is what she and her family did, her father's family. And then she, in the meantime, after that, I think she emigrated to Canada. And then now she's in the great white north of America, up in either Washington State or something like that. And she didn't really want that brought out. And she also didn't want criticism of people like Helen Suzman, who was a leading Jewish anti-apartheid person. But that was an interesting interview. I think it'll be great.
We'll be back, folks, to kick off the show in earnest right after this.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be
misunderstood. Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It took the entire segment to get through all the good news here at the cesspool this week, which is, believe me, rare for conservatives to have such good news. But just a quick recap as we get the things going tonight. We met our fundraising goals. We're able to make a nice contribution to the family of Bill Rowland, going to be contributing to Liberty News Radio, getting all new bumper music and intros, outros, courtesy of the legendary Art Frith. And a new website by May 1st. You might have already seen some subtle renovations on the website. But the big overhaul will be unveiled May 1st. So people are working behind the scenes on the cesspool, I tell you. We got a small army of worker bees, including the gentleman in St. Louis who is making the best of Bill CD. Keith was talking about one of those interviews that will be included on that CD for those who contributed last month, and many others as well. 10 hours of great Bill Rowland cesspool radio. Well, Keith, and this all comes on the heel of Easter. I mean, let's not forget that last week when we were on the show, it was a great show last Saturday night. The last hour, we talked about Easter, and my pastor came on for the final segment, which was special for me. And then we had Easter the very next day. A great time. Both sides of my family came over, and we were doing Easter egg hunts with our daughter, and it was just, we all ate lunch together. Just a great day. And we needed a good week like this, Keith, after the rough couple of months it's been with Bill's declining health and ultimate passing. But not everybody was celebrating Easter last week. Google certainly did not. As everyone knows, Google frequently decorates its logo to celebrate various holidays and special events. But on Easter Sunday, there was no artwork depicting Jesus Christ or the cross on which he was crucified. You probably wouldn't expect that. But Google didn't even bother to offer up a watered-down Easter bunny or painted eggs to mark the holy day either. But I get it, as I wrote on the blog. It's not like Jesus's resurrection is nearly as an important event as Cesar Chavez's birthday. And that was the artwork, a tribute to Cesar Chavez. It was on Google's homepage all day at Easter. It's not like they split the time between Christ and Chavez. It was all Chavez all day, all Easter. And, Christians need to realize they're in the same boat as the rest of us here that talk about these issues. They are discriminated against. They're hated just the same. The same folks that hate us hate them. Always have, always will. And so what do you think, Keith? Slap in the face by Google?
Obviously. It shows you the difference between our religion, which is Christianity, and the left's religion, which is liberalism. And unfortunately, liberalism is infecting the Christian church, as a later article that we're going to spend some time breaking down for you will show, from right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Let me say this while I still have while I have the chance. On a more somber note, this week also marked the passing of one of the great men in our movement. First of all, we lose Bill Rowland at the beginning of last month. Now, the beginning of this month, on April the 5th, Leonard Wilson, one of the board of directors of the Council of Conservative Citizens and the coordinator of the Alabama branch, passed away after having hip replacement surgery. He apparently never fully recovered from it, took a nap, had been weak, had fallen down, according to his son, who is retired from the Air Force and was taking care of his father, and just never woke up. I'm glad that he went peacefully, but I tell you what, we can't afford to lose people like Leonard. Leonard was in the fight from the very beginning. In fact, he was known as Flagpole Leonard Wilson, because he got up on a flagpole and sat there for some period of time to protest the integration of the University of Alabama back in 1963. Of course, that doesn't get nearly the publicity that Rosa Parks got for merely sitting down and looking prim and proper in a totally staged event, which was manufactured into the Montgomery bus boycott. But Leonard was a true warrior, and he never compromised his principles, and he was one of the people that you could always depend on to do whatever he could to try to prevent us from sliding into the morass of liberalism that America's in today. So for all our friends at the Council of Conservative Citizens, everybody that knew him, there's going to be a celebration of his life tomorrow from 1 to 3 at the Church of Christ. I think it's near Townley, Alabama, where he lived. But if anybody wishes, they can send cards and letters and remembrances, post them on the Council of Conservative Citizens website. They have an article about it. Over to you, James.
Yeah, I just found out about Leonard's passing myself today. Actually, Keith, you were the one who told me right before the show started when you got here to the studio, and it's another big blow, particularly for those who are familiar with the Council of Conservative Citizens. That's a group, of course, that I've been active with since 2005, and so I knew Leonard well over the course of the last 8 years. And, yeah, it's another blow. He was a great guy, a good Christian man. And, of course, he was a Southerner, and he was a Southerner first, and that leads me into something that we're going to be talking during the third hour tonight, not just tonight, all during the month of April, which is officially designated as Confederate History Month in many Southern states. And so we're going to be kicking off this evening our annual Confederate History Month series. The last hour of each broadcast during this month will be all about all things Southern. And, you know, to the victors go the spoils, Keith. You don't hear about Leonard's acts of defiance because he was on the losing side, as we all were. The losers are always bad in war. The victorious side is always the good and noble side. And that's just the way it is. And as Leonard would come to find out, as we all have, it is certainly okay to mock, ridicule, and scorn Southerners. And they actually said as much on the Sean Hannity show very recently. We're going to play that clip now if we have enough time. It's about a two-minute clip. Can we get that clip here? Yeah. Are we going to get to play that clip, Sam? Well, we might play it in the next segment, but basically, now here it comes right now. Here it comes.
The not-so-funny left-wing Hollywood actor who drinks way too much caffeine, Jim Carrey, has decided to offer his unnecessary 2 cents into the gun control debate. Now take a look at this highly offensive web video where he participated in and he mocks gun owners and the legacy of actor Charlton Heston. It's called, quote, Cold Dead Hand. Watch.
Charlton Heston movies are no longer in demand. His immortal soul they lay forever. The angels wouldn't take him up to heaven like he planned, cause they couldn't pry that gun from his cold dead hand.
What did he say?
It takes a cold dead hand to
decide to pull the trigger. Takes a cold, dead heart, and as near as I can figure, with your cold, dead aim, you're trying to prove your is bigger, but we know.
Now, apparently that was not enough for Ace Ventura because he didn't stop there. Yesterday he took to Twitter. He wrote, quote, cold dead hand is about your heartless expletives, unwilling to bend for the safety of our children. Sorry if you're offended. And then this morning he wrote, good morning. Hope you're enjoying your cold dead hand. FYI, my bodyguard. Oh, does everyone else in America have bodyguards? My bodyguard doesn't have 100 rounds in his clip. I wish you all a bullet-free day. Now, with comments like those, it's not surprising that his new movie, by the way, is tanking in theaters. You know the people he's making fun of? They didn't go. Watch them. And anyway, joining me now with reaction, the best-selling author, columnist, and cult. You know, this was beyond this. He's from Canada, right?
Yes.
I saw that on The Five today. All right, he's from Canada. Here's a guy from Canada lecturing us about guns, mocking half the country that would otherwise go see his movie. It's from hee-haw, making fun, you know, kind of like this. I wonder if he would ever have the same stereotypes for African-Americans or Muslim-Americans. Would he do that?
No, you're allowed to make fun of white Southerners in
and
America.
Christians.
And Christians, yes. And I mean, this is really getting to be an epidemic.
All right, folks. Now, there's nothing earth-shattering or groundbreaking in what Hannity and Coulter had to say there, to be sure. But the fact that they admitted a truth is more than I expect from any establishment television or radio program, save our own and save that of Liberty News Radio Network. So, Keith, a step in the right direction or an inadvertent admission?
Well, what it goes to show is why we celebrate Confederate History Month. And we'll get back to that after a few words from our sponsor.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Yeah, we've been working hard, babe. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. In the tail end of that last segment, we played a clip from discussion Ann Coulter and Sean Hannity were having, during which they admitted a very basic fact that you are allowed to mock white Southerners, you are allowed to mock Christians, and, you know, broken clocks right twice a day, every blind hog finds an acorn from time to time. You got to give credit where credit is due, and we give credit to them for admitting that. Now, they didn't elaborate on it, they didn't talk more about it, but, you know, whites need to know that they are being dispossessed, they are the butt of all jokes, and that they are being discriminated against, culturally and otherwise. Fans email me all the time, Keith, and swear that folks like Limbaugh Hannity and many of the other big media personalities are picking up on TPC's ideas and becoming more bold and sprinkling a little truth into their commentaries. I can't say definitively that we deserve credit for that, but I won't say it's entirely impossible. The truth is the influence and reach of our work will probably never fully be known, but people say, well, there's no way Sean Hannity's listening to the show. I'd probably agree with that. I certainly don't listen to his show, but I do know that we're on their radar. Long before I made my string of appearances on CNN, I was invited as a guest on the Sean Hannity show. This was back in 2006, maybe late 2005. There was an issue going on here in Memphis, and they called me up. So if we were on their radar as early as 05-06, it's for certain that somebody at Fox knows about us, if not listening. And they had to listen, or else they wouldn't have invited me on. So is it possible, Keith, that the people who certainly have a bigger reach than our own, not to say that ours is small, because our reach is big, it's a substantial following, it's growing bigger every day, is it possible to say that we are a guilty pleasure and some people may be co-opting some of our ideas? And if they are, I say to them, God bless you.
I don't think there's any doubt about it, James. I have listened to people from Michael Savage to Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, I haven't heard any ray of sunshine on Mike Huckabee's show, for example, but I think that if they don't listen, they do have agents, they have people working for them that go through our show probably on a weekly basis and trying to take the pulse of Red State America. And that little vignette that you just examined from the Sean Hannity show with Ann Coulter about how it's okay to mock and ridicule and marginalize white Southerners is the reason why our ancestors seceded from the Union in 1861. That was the real cause of the Civil War. In 1861, our ancestors realized, as Sean Hannity and Ann Coulter realize today, that the federal government and the liberal ideology that drives it was permanently in the control of their enemies in other parts of the nation. And that as a result, they basically had no prospects of enjoying the right of governmental self-determination that their ancestors had fought for in the American Revolution. And they wanted a divorce. They weren't these bellicose people they were portrayed to be in movies even like Gone with the Wind. Of course, there are always a few war hawks, but for the most part, like most people that want a divorce, they wanted an uncontested divorce, and they were hopeful of getting one. And unfortunately, you know, as William Faulkner said, the past, history isn't past, dead, it isn't even past, or the past isn't dead, it isn't even past. That's why we're still talking about this now in the year 2013. Nothing has really changed. This ideological fault line, this fissure between the outlook of Red State America and Blue State America is alive and well and as strong as ever. And furthermore, we are even more isolated, more marginalized in the America of today than we were in 1861 because of the reach, one, of the news media, the entertainment media, the broadcast media. All of those are located, headquartered in Blue State America, and all of them mock, ridicule, and marginalize Red State Americans. That's one big important part. The other thing is that in 1861, there wasn't a sizable Jewish population in America driving the liberal agenda. Well, we certainly have that today. They're in the vanguard of every radical egalitarian movement that comes down the pike, and they are the people who are basically giving us this steady drumbeat of ridicule that we get from, and people like Jim Carrey, who may not be Jewish, but nonetheless, he knows that if he wants to continue working in the rarefied confines of Hollywood, he's in a contest with all other movie stars to show who's the most liberal of them all.
And I got to say something about Jim Carrey. I mean, again, you got to give the left credit. They never let the truth slow them down. They never let hypocritical double standards bother them. I mean, here's Jim Carrey going on this anti-gun tirade and then admitting in a tweet he put out that his bodyguard doesn't carry such and such bullets. Well, I guarantee his bodyguard is carrying some bullets. He said he doesn't carry this many bullets in his gun. Well, yeah, I wouldn't carry a gun either if I had an armed bodyguard going with me everywhere. I mean, would you, Keith? So, but here's Jim Carrey, you know... He makes sure his bodyguard has a gun. Sure he does. But here's Jim Carrey saying, you know, no one should have guns. Well, again, if we all had armed bodyguards, I'd probably agree with him, but we don't. And then there's Barack Obama. I mean, you know, that's just one version of hypocrisy. We see it all the time. Movie stars with bodyguards saying we don't have the right to defend ourselves. Well, if that's so true, why do you need a bodyguard? But then here's Obama. We talked about this at lunch earlier this week, Keith. And he's, you know, cashing in on the tragedy at Sandy Hook. And he's saying, you know, I saw in the paper, how dare we forget what happened at Sandy Hook? And of course, he's pulling on the heartstrings of America, exploiting the deaths of those children to further his anti-gun agenda. And he's saying, you know, we can't forget about the kids that died there, and we got to continue to march to. And then he did his Orwellian doublespeak, but the gist of it was to take guns away. You know, he's using the deaths there to further his anti-gun zealotry. But here is what's so interesting. So he's a big advocate for the children, right, Keith? I mean, the reason he's going after the guns is because he wants to keep those kids safe, because he needs to stop guns from walking into school and pulling their own triggers and killing people, you know, as is what so often happens with guns. When they, you know, you let them out of your gun safe and they just start walking down the road and pulling, you know, shooting hapless people. Well, he cares about the kids. He's got to go after the guns because he loves children so much, but yet he's an advocate for abortion. He loves kids. He wants to save the lives of children by taking guns away from law-abiding Americans, but he doesn't lift a finger to overturn the mass murder of children via abortion. I mean, why don't you come on, Keith? Help me make sense. I can't make sense out of liberals. I mean, can you? Why is he pro-abortion, but he loves the kids so much he has to disarm us?
Look, let me tell you the thing that has come. You know, the ultimate irony of all of this. I have read blog piece after blog piece on the internet, leftist sites, in the news media, in national magazines and newspapers, pointing out that all of these miscreants that do these tragic events, you know, the massacre at Newtown, the massacre in the Colorado movie theater, the massacre wherever, are white people, okay? But what they don't tell you is they are white people in blue states. In red state America, they don't seem to have this problem nearly to the extent or to the degree that they have it in blue state America. And I'll tell you why they don't have it. Because in red state America, we believe in the Constitution. We ask people in blue state America, what part of the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, don't you understand? That is the constitutional law of this land. You can't take an opinion poll. You can't take a vote. The Founding Fathers tried to put this beyond the tyranny of 50% plus one on a whim, taking away our right to arm ourselves. That was the whole reason why the revolution started in Lexington and Concord. The British government was trying to grab their guns at gun warehouses they had established just in case they might need them, and sure enough, they do. If you will notice this, if you look back at history. When they start taking the guns away from the citizens, totalitarian tyranny is just around the corner. So if that's the case, that's what happened in Germany in the 30s. That's what happened in Russia in the 1917. This is what happens everywhere. This is what happened in communist China, in Pol Pot's Cambodia. This is what happens. This is a, you know, it's like the canary in the coal mine. This is the first sign that things are really going to get bad, seriously bad, in a big hurry when they start trying to take the guns. And we're supposed to be the idiots here in Red State America that don't understand any of this, but they are the idiots. They're the ones that think all we have to do to change law is just get everybody to agree that it ain't such a good idea to have massacres.
We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned. We're just the train's just now starting to pick up some steam. James Edwards and Keith Alexander back in a flat.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House No. 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, Keith, I tell you, we're only 3 segments into the show. I'm already exhausted, man. I mean, a lot going on behind the scenes. It's all percolating. New website coming, new on-air production coming here in May, and then Confederate History Month starts tonight and will run all the way through the month of April. Additionally, Tonight is also the birthday of Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and we'll be celebrating that during the second hour before we kick off Confederate History Month. We had a successful fundraiser, helped out Bill's family, going to be helping out the network. Good day in the cesspool, and then we're doing a live show, so it's always good. But yes, indeed, folks, Eddie the Bombardier Miller was born on April 6th, 1947. He is 66 years old tonight and going to be having a birthday party on the air in the second hour. It's all coming up. Keith, real quick, then we got to get into this last story.
Let me take a parting shot at the Jim Carrey vignette that we covered on the blog this week. Apparently, the people in Blue State America, and they think people throughout America, have no concept of weighty considerations like constitutional government or the importance of having a provision protecting your right to keep and bear arms in the Bill of Rights of our Constitution. They think everything is a beauty contest. They think everybody will totally forget about our Constitution, totally forget about constitutional law or how to amend the Constitution, so long as they can portray to us that, you know, gee whiz, I want to be liked by a groovy guy like Jim Carrey. Man, you know, if Jim Carrey's against it, man, it can't be very cool at all, right? You know, that's the way that we apparently are supposed to think, according to the mavens of Hollywood and the media. Now, you know, it's no, who wants to be liked by Jim Carrey? Jim Carrey, it's no accident that his signature movie is named Dumb and Dumber, James. Who in the world cares what that nitwit thinks about anything? This pampered, overfed nincompoop who makes terrible movies now. If you've watched any of his movies in the past 5 years, you can understand why he's desperate to grab headlines and get validation from the liberal Jewish leadership of Hollywood, because, quite frankly, I think that his career is just about history by now.
Well, Keith, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, you know, bad actors turn up like bad pennies out there in Hollywood. But in the meantime, now Mel Gibson, now that's the guy that said a few things politically motivated, and he hadn't worked since. So you can go on rants that are anti-conservative, but you better not say anything that the salons of political correctness don't like, and that will keep you out. But now, two of the themes we've been covering this hour are the mocking and ridicule of Southerners and the restriction of gun ownership. And I got a story that ties both of them together. There's this guy, he's just a citizen, he's really a nobody. I mean, he's just like any of us. And his name is Eddie Maxwell. No, it's not Mudd. Eddie Maxwell. He's a voter in Alabama. He sent out a mass email to all the state representatives in Alabama a couple of weeks ago, asking them to not pass any laws that would further restrict gun ownership. So this is a concerned citizen in red state, Alabama. He sends an email out to all of the lawmakers in the state house of that state saying, don't pass any more laws to restrict gun ownership. He got, and this guy's a white guy that sent out the email. He got a reply from State Representative Joe Mitchell, a Democrat out of Mobile. We got a picture of Joe on the website. He happens to be black. And this is what he said. Listen to what this guy said. This is a black Democratic state representative in Alabama responding to an email from one of his constituents. And he said this, a constituent that asked him not to pass anti-gun laws. Your folk never used all this expletive to protect my folk from your slaveholding, murdering, adulterous, baby-raping, incestuous, snaggle-tooth, backward expletive, inbred, imported, criminally-minded kinfolk. All right, so that was the sentence. A citizen sends out an email saying don't pass anti-gun laws. A black representative writes the voter back and calls him a slaveholding, murdering, adulterous, baby-raping snaggletooth. And here's the thing, can you imagine a white guy anywhere in the world that's elected to a state house of representatives in this country responding to a black guy with an email like that? It would be the top story on CNN. It'd be on Fox. It'd be everywhere. Biggest news story in the country. This guy would be forced to apologize. And then after he groveled long enough, he would be made to resign. And then he'd commit suicide, sure. Now, as you'd imagine, the SPLC, despite being based in Alabama, just up the road in Montgomery, despite being based in Alabama, they're nowhere to be heard on this story. That did not even make their radar. This is right there in their backyard, but not hatred. Now, so what happened after this became a story locally? Now, it did not become a national news story, but it did become a local story. The black state representative vowed never to apologize. This was his reaction. He said, "I'm not going to apologize for that. I'll never apologize for saying that. I meant it." And you know what? I guarantee you this man sails to re-election with 90% of the vote.
Well, it shows you that black people aren't encouraged to have any sense of one introspection, nor are they supposed to ever be altruistic. They are always partisan. They're not even principled liberals. They are simply partisans. Liberalism has made them their darlings, and as a result, they like liberalism. Now, let's break down what he said about the snaggletoothed proponents who enslaved his ancestors. You know, let's start taking, let's look behind the screen and look at the Wizard of Oz behind this. Let's tell the emperor that he has no clothes. There were about 4,000 lynchings at the most between the end of the Civil War and the mid-1960s in all of the South, all of America, that had a racial component to them. Well, you know what 4,000 is? That is a slow month in America for deaths from black-on-black crime. Now, if this guy doesn't understand where the black community's enemies really are, of course, they'll never get around to trying to solve them. In fact, all of the problems that are behind the high gun death statistics that are always thrown in our face are because black people aren't prohibited from having guns in America. If black people were prohibited from having guns, we would be more like Norway than we are like America, this supposedly wild cowboy culture that we have, according to Piers Morgan and other snooty Brits and Europeans that are always looking down their long noses at Americans. The gun violence is a racial problem, just like poverty is a racial problem, just like illegitimacy is a racial problem, just about like every other problem that you can point to in American life today is a racial problem. That is the emperor's new clothes.
We got about a minute or two left in this hour, Keith, and I want you to respond to this in closing, this story about this crazed, hate-filled response from this black legislature to one of the voters who wrote a very decent letter to all of the House members there. Tim Tebow, we covered this a couple of weeks ago. Tim Tebow was forced to apologize because he agreed to speak at a Bible-believing church. It made national news. They didn't like the church because they didn't accept so-called homosexual marriage. This guy calls this white voter everything under the sun. It doesn't make news outside of Mobile. We picked up the story from Mobile. He's not forced to apologize. He's not forced to resign. He says he'll never apologize. The SPLC doesn't pick up on it, and it's just a non-issue. Compare and contrast what we're seeing here.
Well, what do they say? It's the economy stupid. It's race stupid. That's what this is all about. There is a differential standard for measuring the behavior of whites and blacks. Blacks get away with everything in today's media. He could have run naked and caught himself on fire and run through the rotunda of the state capitol in Montgomery, Alabama, and it would have been buried by the news media. On the other hand, if a white representative had said something maybe one-tenth as inflammatory as the comments that this person made, he would be crucified. He would be on the nightly news for a month until they basically badgered him into committing suicide.
Yeah, I mean, if a white legislature says he's against homosexual marriage, I mean, that's where the line is at now. If you say you're even against that, you're a pariah.
Well, Tim Tebow made the mistake of going to a church that actually reads the Bible. And if you actually read the Bible and you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, which is what Christians believe, and, you know, every religion believes that its Holy Scripture is the Word of God, And every major religion in the world not only disapproves of homosexuality, they disapprove in the strongest terms imaginable. So I guess you haven't learned the wonderful alchemy of liberals who profess to be Christians but somehow don't see the plain words that are printed in their holy scripture.
Well, folks, we're just getting started tonight. 1 hour down. Still two forthcoming, and in those 2 hours, we're going to have a birthday party and kick off Confederate History Month. It's all coming your way, folks, before the sand falls from the hourglass tonight here on the Political Cesspool. Stay tuned. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, back in a minute.
That broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the 8th.